Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I want to share some truths with you. I'm going to be plowing some ground. In other words, I'm going to be saying some things probably you haven't heard, or you have heard, but it's not current hearing that. So I'm going to say some things. So just listen. I want to minister on healing today. Healing and deliverance today from the Word of God. Okay? And so I'm going to share some miracles that God did in people's lives. Powerful miracles that Jesus is still doing today. How many of you believe that Jesus still heals, still delivers, still restores, still intervenes in the lives of people? He still does that today. I want to share a scripture. When I had cancer, we were talking in between services and I got to fellowship with them a little bit. And I shared with them a scripture that the Lord gave me when I had cancer that really brought hope to me and brought the fight for me to stand and believe God for healing. I don't know if they got it yet. Deuteronomy. There it is. Deuteronomy 32. I think it's verse 24, 25 through, 45 through 47. Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all of Israel. He said to them, "Set your heart unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing." Why would the Spirit of God put that in there? It's not vain for you to keep the word. Why would he say that? It's not a vain thing. Because when you're applying the word of God, it doesn't look like something's working. That's why he's saying that. He said it's not vain because it is your life. And through this thing, keeping the word, you shall prolong your days in the land where you're going over Jordan to possess. So let me ask you this. What does prolong mean to you? Prolong your life. What does prolong mean to people in Broussard? I know to somebody that had a death sentence of cancer. You know what it meant to me? I can live and not die. So watch this. That's what it meant. To prolong your days in the promised land. So he's saying there's going to be problems in the promised land. You might get COVID coming against you. You might have cancer coming against you. You might have oppression coming against you. You might have every kind of plague coming against you. But I've already given you the remedy for everything that comes. What is it? My word. Take heed to the word. Take heed to the word. Keep applying the word. Stay with the word. Why? It's your life. The word will cause you to prolong your life in the promised land. That's pretty good. I'll clap for myself. I'll clap all by myself in here. I'll preach myself happy. So watch this. That's the truth. But the biggest thing when we're going through troubles, when we're going through sickness, when we're going through all kind of problems, the last thing we want to do is what? Get in the book. That's where your answer is. It's in the book. That's what will cause you to prolong your life in the promised land. It's in the book. I want to tell you, I buried myself in that book. You got cancer, fast moving, hard to cure. I'm staying in this book. I'm staying right there in that book. This word, it's life to me. I'm going to stay in the Bible. I'm going to stay in this book where I can prolong my life. Now, let me tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong going to heaven, okay? How many of you know that? Heaven's a wonderful place we can go to one day, okay? But you don't have to go today. So watch this. Y'all are Bible people, okay? Looking at that scripture. Okay, I'm going to say something, so I'm going to get you to think, okay? All right. Who determines how long you live here? Based upon this word, if I don't get in the book, the problems in the promised land is going to kill me. It's going to shorten my life. But if I stay in the book, I can prolong my life. Come on. All right. I just gave you a word. I just gave you a word. I just gave you that word. So watch this. If I keep the word, attend to the word, apply the word, I can prolong my life. Let me give you the opposite of that. If I don't stay in the word, I don't keep the word, I don't apply the word, guess what? I'll be defeated in the promised land. I want to give you both sides of this thing, okay? To where we can end about. Now watch this. So you got that. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. You ever heard this saying? What I don't know, don't hurt me. You ever heard that? That's a lie. What you don't know will destroy you. Any problem you're going through right now, you know what you're missing? You just need more knowledge. You just need more knowledge. If you're going through a marital problem, you know what you need? You need more knowledge of this book. You need more knowledge of this book. If you're going through a financial problem, you know what you need? More knowledge of this book. If you're going through a sickness and a disease that the doctor said there's no hope, you know what you need? More knowledge of the book. Watch this. We look at it. I'm telling you this about the Bible now. Let me show you this in a practical way. There was a lady that came to me. They gave her up to die. So when I was in pastoral care, see, that's why I get to preach all this stuff, because when I was in pastoral care, I was dealing with everybody's problems all the time. So I had to stay up abreast of what God's word said, okay? So she came, are you Pastor Randy? I said, I'm Pastor Randy. She said, you're the person I want to see. I said, well, praise God. Sit down right there. She's about 72 years old. I said, what can I do for you? I come to plan my funeral. I said, well, you came to the wrong place. This is a church. Martin and Castile is down the road on Farrell Road. That's where you go to plan funerals, not here. She said, but you don't understand. Watch, you don't understand. The doctors gave me up to die. They said, you have a couple of months to live at the most. You're going to die. She said, they sent her home, go plan your funeral and plan to die. You know what I told her? I said, get another doctor. Find some doctor that knows more than that doctor. That'll give you some hope. I'm going to give you hope from the Word of God. We can fight this thing. But I want you to get hope from the medicine side. She said, you know something, they sent me home to die, and they said, we can give you some chemo if you want, but the chemo might prolong it maybe a month, but that's about it. And I don't want to take chemo, that's poison. So I knew where she was. Watch this. See where I grew up at in the church? It was either no doctors or doctored. You know what my philosophy is? Not philosophy, my belief is. Let's blend them both. Use the word and use the doctor. So she didn't want to take chemo and all this other stuff. So I asked her, I said, well, let me ask you something. She said, that's poison in my body. I said, how did you come to church today? She said, I came in my car. I said, you didn't come on a donkey? She said, no, I didn't come on a donkey. Why? I said, Jesus rode donkeys. But he gave knowledge to men to make the car to get you here. I said, use the knowledge that men have, but use the word of God also. Blend them together. Why? Because she was in no place to believe God for a miracle right there. I'm trying to save her life, prolong her life. Get in the book. I'm going to pray with you. I gave her a word the Lord put in my spirit. Gave her that. So guess what? She took the chemo. She got in the word. Guess what? Every year around Christmas time, she texts me. I'm still here. Still here after 3.5 years. And they only gave her months. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know concerning healing, concerning life, will destroy you. Why? Because there's an enemy of ours. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. He'll throw thoughts to you. He'll get you to doubt. He'll get you to turn and reason things out and not take God's word for what it says. God meant what he said what he meant all the time. He does not lie, he's absolute truth all the time. He means what he says what he means. And when we act on it, God will produce something for us. So watch this. I had another guy came to me. So I want to hit every aspect of it today. He came to me, he has esophagus problems. And he's having to get operated, and the doctor said, look, not too much we can do with him. So he came to me. I was holding healing classes in the Lafayette campus for a month or so, month and a half. I was teaching on healing every Monday for about 2 hours. Just teaching healing. Healing from the Word of God. People were coming, 60, 70 people in there. People were getting touched by God. So he said, I knew a man just like you, that believed just like you. And he died. Okay? So he says, so it's not God's will to heal me. So I said, you're basing your faith on what somebody did or didn't do. Is that what you're doing? I said, are you saying this Bible is not true? Are you saying it's not true? He said, well, I don't know what to say. Okay, you just don't know. You don't know enough. I said, you know what kept millions of people out the promised land? 10 people. 10 people talked millions of people out of what God had for them. Because there was a problem. Because there was giants. Because there were situations that they could not handle on their own. And when you're faced up to a life and death situation, you need somebody that knows more. We go to doctors that know more than somebody else. Why? Why? They can give me hope. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What you don't know destroys you. The enemy will use ignorance against you and get you to reason out everything, why God won't do it for you. This man, I taught him the word of God. I said, get in this deal. Get in the Bible. Come sit down in my meetings. He went to Shreveport to get operated on for his esophagus. They canceled the operation on him. Totally healed. His healing of his esophagus. Said, I don't need healing. I don't need surgery. The doctor said something changed in there. I said, stay on the word. Why? The word's your life. It's going to prolong your life. Okay, let me make a statement. I want to get back to Hosea 4:6 for a minute. I want to make a statement. Everybody Jesus healed died. Okay, let's settle that. Everybody Jesus healed dies. Believing God for healing, guess what? You can get healed and still die years down the road. Healing is for a purpose. But one day, you and I are going to leave this planet. But you can enjoy an abundant life that Jesus bought and paid for if you'll act on the word of God. Why? It is your life. I don't know why I'm talking about the cancer part today. Maybe somebody might need that today. But this part here, the Holy Ghost woke me up early in the morning and rewrote my whole thing to teach on that. Watch this second part of Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you reject knowledge, I will reject you. So watch this. Listen good. How do we reject knowledge? By knowing it and not acting on it. Listen, this book is real. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm going to share some miracles with you that Jesus is still doing today. Still doing the same thing today. But watch this. You can have, just because you know it, doesn't mean you got it. Just because you know, have knowledge of something, doesn't mean you possess it. It's having the knowledge and acting on it. Applying that knowledge. Today I'm going to show you how to apply the word of God to your life. How to take it off the book, take it off the pages of the book, and apply it to your life. But watch this. This book, you have to have a relationship with God for this to work. Just by thinking you can get this as a formula, it won't work. Come on, can somebody say amen or something, or oh me? You gotta have a, listen, you can't come have a Sunday relationship with God and expect to operate in what I'm telling you. This has to be every day. His word is alive to you. You're in his presence. He's speaking to you through his word. You're acting on the word of God. And God will come and perform miracles for your life. Do you think that, Pastor Randy? No, I don't think so. Do you believe that? No, I don't believe that. I know it. I know it. Why? These things I'm going to share with you today is something that I'm assured of. That's in my life, that I've lived and applying it all the time in my life. It's working. This word, Jesus will come. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't respect whether you're white, black, purple, polka-dotted, regardless. He doesn't care who it is, but he is a respecter of somebody that will take this truth and apply it. Watch this. If there is no power in our life, the only thing we have is religion. What sets us apart is power. You're just saying that because you're old. You can say what you want. No, I'm saying it because that's how I'm living like that. And I am old and I'm happy. Glory to God. Okay, y'all ready? That was just my introduction. Okay, y'all ready to go? Well, dear Lord, the Saints play at 3. I'll let y'all know how long it takes y'all to get home. Okay. Let me preach to you a little while. I want to build you up. I want to show you, and I'm going to give you some testimonies. I want to show you how to apply the Word of God. How many of you want to know how to apply the Word of God? How many, if I teach you that, how many of you will do it? Okay, I'm going to show it to you right now. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verse 1 through 10. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying, he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, don't trouble yourself. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. But say in a word, and my servant will be healed. So watch this. Just say in a word, I'm going to get my servant healed. Why did he say that? Look verse 8. For I am also a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled and turned unto him and to the people that followed him and said, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now notice this. Think about this for a minute. The reason he could exercise great faith is because he understood authority. He understood authority. His understanding of authority enabled him to exercise great faith and receive something from Jesus. Okay? So watch this. He told Jesus, I recognize authority in your life. I'm a man under authority. I tell one come, he comes. One go, I've got authority over men, but I recognize authority in your life over sickness and disease. Just like I say the word come, men come. Say the word and my servant will be healed. Think about that. Jesus marveled that he had great faith. Two times in the Bible, Jesus marvels. One is at their unbelief. The other one is at their great faith. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to say, "Woo! Hey, Ran, you got some great faith." I want him to marvel, not saying, dear God, won't you believe? Get up from there and believe me. Watch this. Jesus in his own hometown, he could there do no mighty work. It didn't say he wouldn't. It says he couldn't. What stopped him back then stops him today. He's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of obedience to his word. Somebody that will keep the word of God. Why? What is the word? It's your life. Your life depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. Your children depend on it. Your finances depend on it. I'm bringing you into a place, it's a promised land, but they got enemies in your promised land. You got to stay on the word. You got to get in the book and keep the book. You got to act on the word of God in the promised land when problems are coming against you. Everybody can apply truth to their life. When your pocket's full of money, your wife is acting right, your kids are happy, they're not messing up, and everything's going good. Everybody got great faith. But it's when the trials and the tests of life come, is when what you have in you is put on display. When they tell you 4 months to live, fast moving, okay, we'll find out what faith you got. Okay? I want to tell you some. This Bible, Jesus gave us his word so they can produce life for us, to live an abundant life. God, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll talk you out what belongs to you. He'll get you reasoning it out. He'll talk you out of everything if he can. But if you know the book and stay with the book, he can't stop you. He's already defeated. He'll come steal from you what belongs to you. He'll steal your life before it's time. He'll come and afflict you with stuff and get you to think, God's trying to teach you something. You know, when you see people like that, you know what you need to do? Run from them. Run from them. Go find you somebody that'll talk faith to you and say, get up on the word of God and let's believe God. God's the God of hope. At one time, we didn't have hope. At one time, we didn't have God. But now we got God, we got hope, we got a promise, and we're not alienated from the covenants of Israel. Come on. But we walk around like we don't have anything. Like we don't know what God's gonna do. Well, dear Lord, if we don't know what he's gonna do, why did he, don't put it in the word then. If I don't know what you're going to do, don't put it in the word. But he put his word there so we'll know how he'll act and what he'll do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. That lady that came to me, she would have been gone. I would have done her funeral. That man that came, and guess what? When I told this lady, I said, go find your doctor that knows more than that doctor that said you're going to die. You know what you need? You need more knowledge. You need more knowledge of God. How does that come? By staying in the book, getting in this book day and night, like a desperate man. That you're like a man in the wilderness looking for an oasis of water. I was looking at one of my Bibles that I had from almost 40 years now. I looked at my wife, I showed her that Bible. That's when we were going through hard times, I mean bad times. That Bible is marked up all over the place. Well, you almost can't read the scriptures. They're so marked up. I said, there it is. That's when we were going through marital problems. Look at here, I got that thing marked up. That's when we were going through financial problems. Look at here. That's when I was going through cancer. Look here. It's written up. It's all marked up. Faith has to be alive in you. It can't be in your head. It's got to be in your heart. That don't come without a relationship with him. Let me give you three things. And I'll let y'all out of here by 2:30 if y'all nice. Okay. It's not often I come here, so I want to give you your money's worth, okay? Three things this centurion understood, and you got to get it. You get it, you're coming out of where you are. If you listen to me, God sent me here today to get you out of where you are. Watch this. Three things that the centurion understood about authority that gave him great faith. Number one, he understood you must be under authority to have authority. Number two, he understood what he had authority over. Number three, he understood how to release authority. How do you release that authority? The ABCs. I got to know what authority is and how I got it. Number two, I got to know what I have authority over. Number three, I got to know how to release that authority in my life to get God to move. Okay? So number one, you must be under authority to have authority. Notice what he said, verse 8. For I'm a man set under authority. Look at me, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God, therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Most people, they take part of that scripture and they put resist the devil and he will flee. And when he doesn't flee, we blame the word. Look right here. Come on, OSC. Y'all came to us. They didn't tell y'all were having a surgery today. They didn't tell y'all have an open heart surgery today. So what is this? Resist the devil and he flee. That's not what that verse says. That verse says submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. I got to come under the authority of Jesus. His authority, his power flows through me to make the devil obey. Watch this. When the Bible says, forgive other people that have wronged you, and you don't forgive, and all of a sudden that torment comes to you day and night, and you're trying to push it out of your mind. You're trying to, I resist you in Jesus' name. No. Submit. Forgive him. And resist, he'll flee. Why? It's my submission, that of submission. I come under his mission. I put myself under his mission. His authority, his power starts flowing through me to make the devil move. He's not scared of us. He's scared of Jesus that defeated him 2,000 years ago. Watch this. The Bible says if you remember when you're offering your gift and your brother has aught against you, he said, leave your gift there. Go make it right with your brother, then come back and offer the gift. We don't want to do that, but that's submission. Why? Obey. You know what you did? Over here, go make it right with. You did that wrong, go make it right. Yeah, but I don't want you. I'm going to be embarrassed. Right? What do you want? One more night with the frogs? Or do you want to get deliverance tonight? Pharaoh, Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want me to entreat the Lord for the frogs to leave you? He said, tomorrow. I'm from Lauraville, Louisiana, and I know better than that. When do I want the frogs to leave? Tonight? Right now? Well, how can I get the frogs out of my bed? How can I get the frogs out of my house? How can I get the frogs out of my marriage? How can I get it out of my finances? Submit. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Submit. Authority. Submit to his authority. If something's not working, quit blaming God. Could it be that you're wrong? God. Could it be that you're not right? You're wrong. Could it be? Watch this. Let me prove it to you. The Bible says, any of you afflicted, let him pray. James chapter 5. Why would he say, anybody afflicted, let him pray? To find out why you're being afflicted. There's a reason for it. The curse causeless doesn't come. Smile at me. Because listen, I'm a father in this house. I'm not moved by what you say or what you do. I'm not moved by that. I'm going to teach you this word. I'm delivered from you. So watch this. I'm trying to get you delivered. You need to find out why is this going on in you. Asking God, show me why. Why am I like I am? Why do I treat my wife the way I treat her? Why do I treat my husband the way I treat him? Why is this going on in my money? My money doing funny. Why is my money doing funny? I had a guy that used to wash dishes for me. He said, "Hey, Ran." I said, "What, Spook?" He said, "My money doing funny." I said, "What you mean by that?" He said, "There's more money going out than money coming in." I said, "Well, Spook, go look in the mirror. First person you see, slap him and say, you're my problem." Y'all got enough mirrors back there in the bathrooms? Okay. Okay, watch this. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." That word power, that should be authority. "All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." So watch this. Just like that centurion had authority from the Roman government, Jesus says, now I'm delegating authority to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you authority. To do what? To carry out my business upon the earth. I'm giving you authority. Watch this. If I got authority, I have to know what I have authority over. If I don't know what I have authority over, I'll abuse my authority. Or I won't use my authority. Remember, okay, I'll either abuse it or I won't use it. I have to know it and I got to act on it. I can have knowledge of it, but if I don't use it, guess what? I'm rejecting that knowledge. It doesn't benefit me at all. Does that make sense? So watch this. Second part, he knew what he had authority over. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "Behold, I give unto," that's his disciples, "I give unto you power," that word power there should be translated authority, "to tread on all," on the serpents, scorpions, say this with me, "over all the power of the enemy." Say it again. "Over all the power of the enemy." Say it again. "Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." So watch this. Just like the centurion had authority over men, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you authority over all the power of the enemy. It doesn't matter how big of a gun he brings to the fight, I got authority. I can shut him down. A policeman is delegated authority by the government that he serves. He can get in the middle of traffic when cars are coming. He walks up right in the middle of them and puts it, stop. All those cars, stop. They could run clean over him. Why don't they? He's got authority. If they do run past him, the government that authorized him to say stop goes after those people and makes them submit by force. Watch this. Authority is only as good as the government backing it up. God will back you up because he gave you authority. Do you think for 1 minute God will give you authority and not back you up? Come on. Could it be that the enemy talks us out of it? That we don't know how to operate and function in it? Could it be that? I give you power. I give you authority over all this power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Watch it. Let me give you the backside of that now. If I don't know I have authority, or if I don't use authority, he will hurt me. Shh. So let's sit down right there. Watch this. If I don't know I have authority, or if I do know I have authority and I don't use it against him, he will hurt me. But if he comes to attack me and I know my authority and use it, power starts flowing to make him submit. Y'all getting it? I know I'm treading on some ground over here you haven't heard. I'm treading on it. I'm plowing in that. Okay? Look at Luke chapter 9. Man, I'm over my time already. I just started. Okay. All right, let's go. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. No, power and authority. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. This was made true to me. I used to suffer with gout. How many of you ever suffered with gout? Okay, well, you need to listen to me right now. I'm going to get you out of that. Jesus has already delivered you from gout, but I'm going to show you how to apply it to receive what he's already done for you and I on the cross. I suffered with gout. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, Mark 11:23 will work for you, for gout. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say into this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and don't doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he's saying shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. He said, speak to gout, command it to leave you. Then he says, start speaking what you want to come to pass, what I bought and paid for you. Start speaking it. So he said, what do you want to come to pass? I said, I want to be God free. Stay on that. So he said, act on my word. I spoke to God. I said, gout, I command you, according to Mark 11:23. Pastor Randy, you talk like that? You better talk to it. Jesus said, talk to your mountain. Jesus said, speak to it. Let me ask you something. How many of you believe John 3:3? Some of you saying, what does that mean? Okay. That means you must be born again. How many of you believe Jesus put that in the book? You must be born. How many of you believe that? The same Jesus that put that in the Bible, put that in the Bible. Why do we believe one part and not this part? He said, speak. I think that's silly. Well, stay with your sickness. You're not submitting. Come on, y'all getting it? Yeah, but I don't believe you can speak. Nothing's going to happen. Guess what? It's not for you. You ain't going to get it. Jesus said speak. You think Jesus knows more than you and I? I know we brilliant, but do you think Jesus knows a little bit more than you and I? I know enough to obey that and speak. I spoke to gout. I said, I command you to leave me. In Jesus' name. Then the Holy Ghost said, what do you want to come to pass? I said, I want to be gout free. Hold on to that. So watch this. I'm hopping along. I spoke it. I'm in pain. I'm hurting. I'm hopping on that foot. I said, I'm gout free according to Mark 11:23. I spoke to gout. God left me. I gave it a command. It left me. I say, I'm God free in Jesus' name. The enemy came through. How do you feel? I said, I feel like digging a hole, jumping in it, and covering myself up. I'm in so much pain. It's not working. I said, Jesus can't lie. The Holy Ghost says, Jesus can't lie. Stay with it. He's coming. The enemy's coming to steal your inheritance. He's coming to take what I bought and paid for you 2,000 years ago. He's coming to steal it from you. I said, Mark 11:23 says, I'm to speak to it. When I spoke, it left. I'm God free. I'll have whatsoever I say. I'm saying I'm God free. Quit saying what you have and start saying what you want to have. The next day, I'm in pain. I'm hobbling on that foot. I'm God free. I'm God free. How do you know? I said, Mark 11:23 says it, and Jesus don't lie. How do you feel? I'm in pain. What you believe? I said, I believe I'm God free. See, the word was alive in me. It can't be here. It's got to get from here to here by action. The third day I get up, here I am again. I'm God free. 5 o'clock in the morning, hobbling up on that. I'm God free. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came in. Jesus manifested himself. He said, you want to know why you got gout? Absolutely. He said, you're dehydrated. You don't drink enough water. He said, drink more water. Your days of gout are over with. I was looking for power when I needed wisdom. I'll just let that settle up. I'm looking for the power of God to fall out, to shake maybe. If God would have healed me with power, a week later I would have had gout again. Because why? I needed more water. I didn't need more power. Sometimes you have to change your way of life. I know you don't want to hear that, but I'm trying to get you healed. He said, drink more water. Your days of gout are over with. That's been over 3.5 years. Not one night I went to bed, that toe started throbbing. I got up at 2 o'clock. No, you don't. You ain't stealing my... I'm gout free. It left. That's how you appropriate the promises of God. I can tell you person after person after person. I'm gonna say this and I'm going to get one more scripture and I'm going to close. I had a man dying of cancer. He had cancer in his bones. Liver cancer went to his lungs. He's in the Word day and night. And he's praying for God to heal him. Every day. And he said, I just don't know why you're not healing me. He said, I want you to leave here. I want you to go to Lafayette campus. Go talk to Pastor Randy. He's going to tell you what to do. Follow what he tells you to do, and you'll receive your healing. So he came to me. We talked. He said, Jesus said he'd heal me if you pray for me and you tell me what to do. Jesus would heal me. I said, Jesus told you that? I said, let's pray. I want to see a miracle. I said, what you been doing? He said, I've been asking God to heal me every day. I said, I want you to stop that. I don't want you to pray that no more. I want you speaking to your mountain. Jesus has already paid the price for your healing on the cross 2,000 years ago. He paid and bought your healing. The enemy is coming to steal from you, coming to shorten your life. He's coming to snuff you out. I said, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to use authority because I'm walking in that. You and I, watch this about authority. I can't go in Renee's home, her and Hananiah's home, without them asking me and rearrange their furniture. I can't go in there and say, okay, I'm taking over, let me go do. No, that's their home. They have authority in their home. For me to use authority with them, they got to invite me in. Come into our house and move the furniture. This guy came to me. The Lord told me to come, follow what you're telling to do, and he'll heal me. He invited me. So I said, let's agree. I'm a curse cancer. It's going to die. From this point on, what do you want in your life? I want to be cancer free. I said, say it, cancer free. Jesus said you'd have what you say. What do you say? I'm cancer free. I said, stay on that and do not get off of it. A month later, he calls me up. I'm in so much pain. Pastor, I'm in so much pain. A month. I said, stay with it. Do not get off of it. Stay with it. A month later, he went to the doctor. The tumors are shrinking. Watch this. It gets better than that. This week, he texts me with a picture. He's bass fishing. Caught a big old bass. He said, I'm totally cancer-free, tumor-free, and the bone is being restored in my hip. That cancer had eaten out. Look right here. Look right here. It'll work for finances like that. It'll work for healing like that. It'll work for deliverance like that. Anything. Jesus said to speak to doubt, to speak to cancer, to speak to rejection, to speak to fear. After you speak, act like it left you and start saying what you want to come to pass. He delegated authority to you. The enemy better, watch this, he better obey you. He better obey you because you belong to Jesus and Jesus delegated authority to you. You know when he comes up to bump up against you and to resist you, you know what he's doing? If I resist him enough, they're going to quit. If I can bump up against you enough, you'll quit. And I'll steal a testimony. I'll steal your health. I'll steal your husband. I'll steal your wife. I'll steal your children. I'll steal your money. I'll steal your mind. If I can bump up against you and resist you, I'm banking you quit. That's what he's saying. And God is saying, stay with it. Through faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. Come on. That's a good word. Let's stop right here. Let's cap the well. Right here. How many of you are going through stuff in your life? Sickness and disease and God, stand up with me. Come on, stand up. Whoever's going through stuff, sickness and disease, oppression of any kind. We're going to act on the word. The Bible says, watch this, it's not a vain thing to act on the word. Remember Moses? I started off with that. He said it's not a vain thing. Why? Because when you act on it, it doesn't look like nothing's happening. Doesn't look like nothing's going on. But you act on it. Watch. It's your life. It's going to prolong your life. Something's coming to steal your life. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I command sickness and discomfort. Okay, wait a while. I want y'all to say it like you mean it. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I speak to sickness, disease, oppression, depression, fear, rejection, lack. I break your power. I command that you leave me. Now, from this point on, I'm gout free. I'm sickness free. I'm cancer free. I have a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I'm accepted. I resist rejection. I have a sound mind. I have a clear mind. I have a good marriage. I command the accuser of the brethren to leave my marriage. I bless my wife. I bless my husband. I say we're blessed. We're blessed. We're living an abundant life that Jesus bought and paid for. I stand for it today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I use the authority God has given me in Jesus' name. And Father, I give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.